Good day, brothers and sisters, and welcome once again to the CMI School of Christ. And we're going to go ahead and continue with our class, The Great Mercy of God. And we are still in Genesis chapter 16, and we are looking at the same passage with Abram. The focus is now upon Sarai and Hagar. And after just looking at this and considering this passage, meditating on these passages right here, or this passage, I'm just thankful to the Lord for His mercy, loving kindness, His goodness, His grace, because except the Lord take the initiative, I'll just say it this way. I think there's the passage in Isaiah that says this: all we like sheep are gone astray. Each one of us has gone his own way. And see, that is just true of man. Jesus also said this: no man can come to me except the Father draw him. For our heart to even consider, think of it, just even consider Jesus is a miracle of God. And for our heart then, by the work of the Spirit, to turn, to be even able to turn unto Christ, is also a work of God. It's a miracle. It is a miracle of God. So, just in considering this passage, meditating upon this passage, the goodness of the Lord is saturating this whole entire passage. And I'll just go ahead and read it and just make some of the comments that I have, excuse me, for it. So Genesis chapter 16, starting with verse 1. Starting with verse 4, because we're going to pick up with verse 4. I need to change that in my notes. Verse 4. And Abram went in unto Hagar, and she conceived, and when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes. And we looked at the term despised in past classes, so we're not going to look at that. We're not going to focus on that during this class. Her mistress was despised in her eyes. Verse 5, and Sarai said unto Abram, my wrong be upon thee. I have given my maid into thy bosom, and when she saw that she had conceived, I was despised in her eyes. The Lord judge between me and thee. Verse 6, but Abram said unto Sarai, behold, thy maid is in thy hand. And that is verse 6, and I just want to look at it real quick. Yeah. The maid is in thy hand. Do to her as it pleaseth thee. And when Sarai dealt hardly with her, she fled from her face. And the angel of the Lord found her by a fountain of water in the wilderness, by the fountain in the way to Shur. And he said, Hagar, Sarai's maid, whence comest thou, and whither wilt thou go? And she said, I flee from the face of my mistress Sarai. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, return to thy mistress, and submit thyself under her hands. Okay. Excuse me. Every so often I'll do this. Just kind of give a quick, overview of this class, of this series. Basically, the great mercy of God found in the journey of Abram. And this is basically just to refresh our hearts and bring us up to date, depending on who's watching the videos or listening to the classes. If this is someone new and this is your first time watching the video or listening to the classes, You'll get much more out of them at this point if you start with class one. They kind of go in order, and they're progressive classes. So, but just to give kind of like a real quick overview, because of this passage right here, and I'll bring everything up to speed under this passage right here in Genesis chapter 16. Currently, in this passage, Genesis chapter 16, the time frame, the setting is basically that Abram, Hagar, and Sarai are in the land of Canaan. All right? The Lord had already brought them unto purpose. And now, by the tender mercy and ever-abounding grace of God, they are serving the purpose of the Lord in their generation. Now, let me go back, take a couple steps back, and just kind of explain this. Just with an example. For the soul that is not born again, the Lord, by the Holy Spirit, is preparing the ground of the heart, the ground of the soul, that by the work of the Spirit, that soul may come unto purpose. The purpose of God being Christ Himself. This is the moment of new birth, when by the work of the Spirit, the heart of one who is not born again finally turns unto the Lord the first time, and Christ Himself appears in the soul. This is the moment of new birth. From this moment onward, the Holy Spirit continues just the same, with no different work, but with the same work, with the same intention, with the same goal, with the same end in view, to continue preparing the ground of the heart, so that now the heart may turn unto the Lord the second time. The second, that the heart may turn unto the Lord, that the heart may now come. Now listen to the way I say this. So that the heart may now come in knowledge by the work of the Spirit. From the knowledge of man unto the knowledge of God. And I've said this several times, and basically here's the order. It's a spiritual order. It is the order of God. It's the eternal order. First, reality. Then, the knowledge of reality. All right? At the moment of new birth, the soul is brought unto the reality of God, who Christ Himself is, because Christ Himself appears in the soul. The reality of God is present. Therefore, the soul has come unto reality. All right? Now, that the soul has come to reality, that the soul has come to Christ Himself, the Holy Spirit, once again, as I mentioned, as I stated, is continuing to prepare the ground of the heart, the ground of the soul, so that now the heart, by the work of the Spirit, may come in knowledge unto where God, by His Spirit, has already brought the soul in reality. Okay? The Holy Spirit working so that the heart may come in knowledge, from the knowledge of man unto the knowledge of God, unto where the Spirit of God has already brought the soul in reality. So, once again, the spiritual order, the eternal order, the order of God is reality first, then the knowledge of reality. Abram, I love the beautiful picture. It's with Abram. It's like from beginning unto end. Let's just go there real quick. The purpose of God, beginning to end, with just the example of Abram. And we're going to go to Acts chapter 7, starting with verse 1. And then the high priest said unto Stephen, who is declaring Christ in the scriptures, Stephen, in whom Christ has been revealed, Stephen declaring the testimony of Christ in the scriptures. Then the high priest said unto Stephen, are these things so? Because they were accusing Stephen. And he said, men, listen to this, unto all the house of Israel, men, brethren, and fathers, listen, hearken, listen. the God of glory appeared unto our father Abraham. When he was in Mesopotamia, before he dwelt in Charan. Now, that basically means the God of glory appeared unto our father Abraham when he was in Ur of the Chaldees. Beautiful picture. Here's Abram at the time, in Ur of the Chaldees, in the world. The condition of his soul is one of death. Apart from God, there is no life of God present. The condition of his soul is death. And the Holy Spirit had been preparing the ground of his heart, the ground of his soul, until, by the work of the Spirit, his heart could turn unto the Lord. And then right here, the God of glory appeared unto our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia before he dwelt in Charan. Now, the moment God appears in the soul, this is Christ himself appearing in the soul. The moment Christ appears in the soul, that soul is immediately translated from the condition of death unto the condition of life. Because Christ, who is the eternal life of God, is now present in the soul. Not only that, salvation is now present. Forgiveness of sins is now present. Righteousness is now present. Peace is now present. Love is now present. Everything is now present in that soul in the person of Jesus Christ. Okay? There's a great, the eternal change comes to the soul when Christ himself appears in the soul. Christ, who is the eternal change, comes to the soul at the moment of new birth. This is the moment of new birth. All right? So, the soul is literally translated to the kingdom of the Son of His love from the kingdom of darkness, from the kingdom of bondage, from the kingdom of death unto life. All this happens the moment of new birth. All this happens when Christ appears in the soul. And he said, men, brethren, and fathers, hearken, the God of glory appeared unto our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia before he dwelt in Charan. All right, so once again, Ur of the Chaldees, kind of like with a map, I don't have it on this board, I've got it on a different board. Ur of the Chaldees, Charan, and then Canaan over here. And Haran is halfway basically between Ur of the Chaldees and Canaan. So, the soul has been brought unto reality. The soul has been brought unto purpose. This is Canaan. This is what the land of Canaan represents. This is what, listen, the promised land is. It is the purpose for which God created the soul. The soul has been brought to purpose, unto reality, and now the heart must now come unto where God, by His Spirit, has already brought the soul in reality. And we'll continue reading Acts chapter 7. And he said, men and brethren, fathers, hearken, the God of glory appeared unto our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia before he dwelt in Charan, and said unto him, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred, and come into a land which I shall show thee. There it is, God declaring purpose. God declaring the end. God declaring his one expectation for which he created the soul. Verse 3. Then he said unto him, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred, and come into the land which I shall show thee. Verse 4. Then came he out of the land of the Chaldeans and dwelt in Charan. And see, this is the heart in knowledge and understanding goes as far as it can go. It is a miracle of God for the soul to come unto purpose, for the soul to come unto Christ. It is also a miracle of God for the heart to come in knowledge unto where the Spirit of God has brought the soul in reality, the person of Christ. Verse 4, then came he out of the land of the Chaldeans and dwelt in Charan. And from thence, when his father was dead, God removed him into this land wherein ye now dwell, and gave him no inheritance in it, no, not so much as to set his foot on it. Yet he promised that he would give it unto him for a possession, and to his seed after him, when as yet he had no child. That's verse 5. We'll go ahead and stop there. Then came he, verse 4 again, then came he out of the land of the Chaldeans, and dwelt in Haran. And from thence, when his father was dead, God himself removed him out of Haran, into this land wherein you now dwell. And it's God doing this the whole time. And we know, I think it's Genesis chapter 12, what Abram finds in the land is God himself, because it says, and the Lord appeared unto Abram. So all this for what? So that Abram can discover who is in the land. Abram brought out, and now his heart brought to discover who is now present in the land. Okay? Excuse me. So back to Genesis. We have Abram at the time, because his name hasn't changed yet. Abram, Sarai, and Hagar. They are in purpose. They are found purpose. Abram is found serving the purpose of the Lord in his generation, because he continues in the appearing of the Lord. The Lord is appearing. Abram is discovering the Lord throughout the land. Abram is discovering the fullness of Christ that filleth, as the Spirit of God is leading him throughout the entirety of the land. Abram is discovering him who fills both the heavens and the earth, as God himself is appearing, as God himself is revealing his Son, who is present. Now, Abram is serving the purpose of the Lord in his generation. And once again, to serve the purpose of the Lord in our generation doesn't mean that we are going to go out and teach or preach or share scripture with others or share our testimony with others. That is not serving the purpose of the Lord. No. Serving the purpose of the Lord is beholding, is discovering the one who is present. Another verse that was completely, I don't want to say life-changing, but effectual, powerful, that the Lord has used in my own heart, in my own walk with him, is Acts chapter 26, verse 16. This is James Murdoch's translation of the Sirach Peshitta. And basically, this is when the Lord appeared unto Saul of Tarsus, when he was on his way to go waste the church. Now, before this, the Lord, by the Holy Spirit, had been preparing the ground of his heart, the ground of his soul, because Jesus also says this, it's hard for you to kick against the pricks. Basically, God had been dealing with him by his Spirit. God had been preparing the ground of his heart by the work of the Spirit. And he was like an ox kicking against the pricks, the goads, basically the pointer, where the one trying to direct the oxen, you know, if he wants the oxen to go a particular way, he kind of prods them, pokes them, so they can go that direction. Well, sometimes the ox would kick back, you know, trying to resist. Kick back, hey, quit poking me, I want to do my own thing. So the Spirit of God had been preparing the ground of his heart unto this very moment. Acts chapter 26, verse 16. And the Lord said, and Jesus said unto him, stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared to thee for this purpose, to constitute thee a minister and a witness, and I love this, of this, of the following. The Apostle Paul, listen, is a minister and he is a witness. A witness, once again, is one who has seen and therefore can testify. One who has seen, but not just seen anything, because the majority of us, we go, we read the Bible and we see a lot of, listen, stuff. But with God, it's very specific. It's not about stuff. It's about His Son. To constitute thee a minister and a witness of this, and nothing less. Thy seeing me, and of thy seeing me hereafter. Of thy seeing me, and of thy seeing me from this moment onward. The ministry of the Apostle Paul was not one of miracles, signs, and wonders, though there were miracles, signs, and wonders. The ministry of the Apostle Paul was not teaching, preaching. The ministry of the Apostle Paul was this: thy seeing me, and of thy seeing me hereafter. The Apostle Paul served the purpose of the Lord in his generation because he continued in the appearing of Christ. He continued in God the Father revealing His Son in him. In fact, in Galatians, it's further down in our notes here. In Galatians, the Apostle Paul says this. He says, the gospel that I declared unto you didn't come from man. I didn't learn it from man, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. This is the gospel the Apostle Paul declares. It is by the revelation of Jesus Christ. The revelation of Jesus Christ is the foundation of everything that this man says and does. All right? Very important. He served the purpose of the Lord in his generation. Back to Genesis. Back to Genesis chapter 16. verse 6. But Abram said unto Sarai, now remember, Abram is in the land. He is serving the purpose of the Lord in his generation. Sarai, who is Abram's wife, by default, because she is joined to Abram, because she is one, she is also serving the Lord, the purpose of the Lord in her generation, through Abram. Okay? Do you see the submission? Abram submitted unto the Lord. Sarai submitted unto Abram. Hagar, because she is Sarai's servant, as long as she is present in the land, she is serving the purpose of the Lord through Sarai, who is serving the purpose of the Lord through Abram. Now remember, in our previous classes, I did cover this. Sarai needs to see the Lord. Just as the Apostle Paul said, until we all come, we all must come. It's not good enough to serve the purpose of the Lord by through someone else, by relation to someone else. That's good. It's not good enough. Until we all come in the unity of the faith unto, listen, the knowledge of the Son of God. God's very own knowledge of His Son. This is God Himself revealing His Son where He is. All right? So as long as they are in the land, they are serving the purpose of the Lord in their generation. Verse 6, but Abram said unto Sarai, behold, thy maid is in thy hand. Oh, verse 6 from Genesis chapter 16. Do to her as it pleaseth thee. Now, remember... Remember Lot, when the land couldn't support both Abram and Lot during the famine? And do you remember how Abram to whatever degree the purpose of the Lord had been established in his heart, he knew what it was all about. It was about discovering the Lord who was present in the land. And so when there's a strife between the herdsmen of Lot and the herdsmen of Abram, Abram says, okay, Lot, listen to what he says, the whole land is before you. Abram puts a perimeter, creates a perimeter, declares the perimeter, declares the boundaries where which Lot should dwell. Declares the perimeter, Christ himself, the boundaries, Christ himself, where Lot should dwell. And therefore he presents it. The whole land is before you. It basically saying, if you go north, I'll go south. If you go east, I'll go west. Pick whatever you want in the land. And so that there be no strife between us or our herdsmen. If you take the left, I'll take the right. Abram, because reality, because purpose, specifically purpose, had been established in his heart to some degree, is now declaring that very purpose unto Lot. And he's saying, basically, remain here in the land. Choose, move, go about, walk about the land. Because Abram knows the good. Now, Lot, on the other hand, it says Lot lifted up his eyes and he saw, you know, the plains, basically heading towards Sodom and Gomorrah. And so at that time, Lot chose outside of purpose. You could say Lot chose poorly. And yet it was Abram's heart that Lot would continue serving the purpose of the Lord in his generation. That Lot would discover for himself the purpose of the Lord in his generation, and thus serve the purpose of the Lord in his generation. I totally believe, that it broke Abram's heart when Lot stepped out of purpose, stepped out of the land. All right. So here we have verse 6. But Abram said unto Sarai, behold, thy maid is in thy hand. Do to her as it pleaseth thee. Okay? We know what's governing the heart of Abram. And now he declares just the same unto Sarai. That term, let's go back to where we were. That term, pleaseth, is Strong's number 2896. You can jot it down if you want. And, and the very first mention, I'm going to do a Strong's number search, key number search, the very first mention of this term, Strong's number 2896, is in Genesis chapter 1, verse 4. Let's go ahead and look at it in context. Genesis chapter 1, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. Verse 2, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Remember, God always takes the initiative. Verse 3, and God said, let there be light. And there was light. Verse 4, and God saw the light, that it was good. And there's our term. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. And God saw the light, that it was good. It's the Hebrew term, something like tobeh. Tobe, something like that. Forgive me for my pronunciation on these terms. Verse, God saw the light that it was good. God said, let there be. God didn't create the light. He said, let there be light. And listen, we're going to take this all the way to where the Apostle Paul defines this very passage, his very own commentary, which is a true commentary, which is a true witness. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6. For God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Okay? This is what is governing not only the Apostle Paul, but it's governing the heart of Abram as well. Verse 6, Genesis chapter 16. But Abram said unto Sarai, behold, thy maid is in thy hand. Do to her as it pleaseth thee. Do unto her good. Do unto her to bring unto the good, to direct unto the good. The exact same thing that Abram did with Lot, the exact same thing that Abram now does, because that is what governs his very own heart. He wants it to govern the heart of others. Purpose governs the heart of Abram, and Abram desires that purpose govern the heart of others as well. Do to her as it pleaseth thee. Do unto her good, directing the heart unto good, directing her unto good. And when Sarai dealt hardly with her, she fled from her face. And the terms that the Spirit of God uses in the Scriptures are pointed. They're not just words thrown out there. No, they're with purpose. And when Sarai dealt hardly with her, she fled from her, specifically, face. The Spirit of God put that word in there. It's not just she fled, she left. No. She fled from her face. Now, Sarai... We've been looking at Hagar, and we have just seen how that Hagar, being an Egyptian, is kind of like the flesh, the strength of the arm of the flesh, the strength of man, the strength of the arm of the flesh, the ability of man, the strength of man, the wisdom of man, the knowledge of man, the understanding of man, basically man's ability, the ability of the flesh. The flesh is completely contrary to the mind of God, completely, wants to do its own thing, wants to, listen, not have a yoke upon it, wants to, quote unquote, be free. Carnality, which is the carnal mind, which is basically that which is not the mind of Christ, that wherein the mind of Christ is not governing. Okay, I'll say it this way. The mind of man, the carnal mind, the natural mind, the brain, calls evil good and good evil. So, Sarai is submitted to Abram. And now Hagar must be submitted to Sarai. Abram is Sarai's lord. Sarai is Hagar's lord, mistress. And Christ himself is Abram's lord. I was just seeing how, you know, I don't know if I can make the assumption here, but it's almost like spirit, soul, body. Spirit masculine, the soul feminine, and then the body. When the heart is turned unto the Lord, Christ is governing the land, the soul. Therefore, love is governing the soul. Therefore, righteousness is governing the soul. Therefore, life is governing the soul. Therefore, peace is governing the soul. All these terms we find in the scripture, when the heart is turned unto the Lord. It's basically the example of when King David revealed Solomon, the true heir, the true son, the true seed, who would be king, who would sit upon the throne and govern. The whole land was in an uproar, basically. Well, you know, in a sense, yes, it was in an uproar because Absalom wanted to try to be king. And so the whole land is like, okay, Absalom's king. And see, God did not choose Absalom. God chose Solomon. And I'll give you some verses here. We don't really have time to... Well, we at least do have time to read one. This is 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 24 and 25. This is David. After that, the child whom David had, the first child that David had by Bathsheba died because he was stepping out of God's will, I guess. He was not acting according to the mind of God. All right. So 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 24. And David comforted Bathsheba, his wife, and went in unto her and lay with her. And she bare a son, and called his name Solomon, and the Lord loved him. The Lord loved Solomon. And he sent by the hand of Nathan the prophet, and he called his name Jedidiah, because of the Lord. And that term, Jedidiah, where is it? Is beloved of Yahweh. Beloved of the Lord. And I didn't find it in that Bible app, so I'm going to look at it at this other, on this other Bible app. So 2 Samuel, once again, sorry about that. 2 Samuel, chapter 12, verse 25. Jedidiah. Psalms number 3041. Forgive me. I've got English. Change that to English. Change that to English. Okay. Now, add my default lexicons and Strong's dictionaries. Okay. This is the online Bible. Hebrew dictionary, Hebrew lexicon, for the term Jedidiah, beloved of Jehovah. Beloved of Jehovah. The name given to Solomon through Nathan the prophet. Okay. The next verse is 1 Chronicles, chapter 22, starting with verse 7. And David said to Solomon, my son, as for me, it was in my mind to build a house unto the name of the Lord, my God. But the word of the Lord came to me, saying, thou hast shed blood abundantly and hast made great wars. Thou shalt not build an house unto my name, because thou hast shed much blood upon the earth in my sight. Behold, a son shall be born to thee, who shall be a man of rest, and I will give him rest from all his enemies round about, for his name shall be Solomon, and I will give peace and quietness unto Israel in his days. He shall build me an house for my name, and he shall be my son, and I will be his father, and I will establish a throne of his kingdom of Israel forever. Now, my son, the Lord be with thee, and prosper thou, and build a house of thy God, as he hath said of thee. This is the one whom God hath chosen. As I stated before, David, as type of God the Father, reveals his son, Christ, who is the true heir to the throne, who is the true one to receive the inheritance, the true seed, the chosen of God. We have others trying to take that place, trying to be that one. Absalom is one of them. And see, as long as the Father does not make known the true chosen one, the true heir, the true seed, the true son, the true king, the true exalted one of God, then the whole soul, the land, is kind of like running this way and then running that way. Listen to what I'm going to say. Tossed to and tossed fro with every wind of doctrine. Once the passages, here's some other passages. 1 Chronicles 28, 1. Through 10, 1 Kings 1, 27 through 50, 1 Kings 1, 5 through 12, 13 through 14, and 15 through 16 of 1 Kings chapter 1. All these passages where God the Father, with the testimony of David the Father, revealing his son, Solomon, to all. David assembled, this is 1 Chronicles chapter 28, verse 1, and David assembled all the princes of Israel, the princes of the tribes, and the captains of the companies that ministered to the king by courses, and the captains over the thousands, and the captains over the hundreds, and the stewards over the substance and possession of the king, and of his sons with the officers, and with the mighty men, and with all the valiant men unto Jerusalem. Everyone and anyone that would have a say in the land. Then David the king stood up upon his feet and said, "Hear me, my brethren, and my people. As for me, I had it in my heart to build a house of rest for the ark of the covenant of the Lord, and for the footstool of our God, and he made ready for the building, and had made ready for the building. But God said to me, Thou shalt not build a house for my name, because thou hast been a man of war, and hast shed blood. Howbeit the Lord God of Israel hath chose me before all the house of my father to be king over Israel forever. For he has chosen Judah to be the ruler, and the house of Judah, the house of my father. And among the sons of my father, he liked me to make me king over all Israel. And of all my sons, for the Lord hath given me many sons, he hath chosen Solomon, my son, to sit upon the throne of the kingdom of the Lord over Israel. And he said unto me, Solomon thy son shall build my house and my courts, for I have chosen him to be my son, and I will be his father. Moreover, I will establish his kingdom forever, if he be constant to do my commandments and my judgments, as it is this day. Okay. The Lord chose Solomon. All right? David reveals Solomon unto all in the land. And now, when Solomon is sitting upon the throne, peace governs the land. Wisdom, knowledge, righteousness, understanding governs the land. The love of God governs the land. Truth governs the land. Light governs the land. There is peace, there is rest when Solomon is sitting upon the throne. And it is so far stretching, so far outreaching, that all the world, everything outside of the land, listen, is under subjection unto Solomon as well, because they paid tribute unto Solomon. Those that were outside of land, outside of the land, outside of Canaan, outside of the land of promise, paid tribute. They were submitted unto King Solomon. So, once again, Genesis chapter 16, Abraham, Sarai, Hagar. And verse 6, But Abram said unto Sarai, Behold, thy maid is in thy hand. Do unto her as it pleaseth thee. Bring her, direct her, guide her a new purpose, that she may serve purpose. And when Sarai had dealt hardly with her, she fled. Once again, the flesh does not see purpose, therefore does not know purpose. And see, we are governed until God the Father reveals His Son in the heart. We are governed by the natural sight. We are governed by natural sound. We are governed by this natural mind. We see not the purpose of God, who Christ Himself is. Therefore, we know not the purpose of God. And we call evil good and good evil. We see what is freedom, true freedom, and we call it bondage. And so, just like Hagar, we flee from the face of liberty. We flee from the face of freedom and return unto what we believe is freedom. And all the while it is bondage. Because Hagar is now, she flees from the face of Sarai, verse 7, and the angel of the Lord found her by a fountain of water in the wilderness, by the fountain in the way to Shur. That is, she's heading to Egypt. She's heading to what she knows. She's heading to what she believes is freedom. And yet Egypt is bondage. Remember, let me mark this real quick. Remember what the Lord said? Several times. The Lord says it several times. How I freed you, how I delivered you. Listen to what He says. From the house of bondage. This is what the Lord does. He brings the soul into liberty to walk freely in a wide open space, who Christ Himself is. And yet, because we have not seen the liberty of God, the freedom of God, the deliverance of God in the person of Christ Himself, Christ Himself being the liberty of the soul, Christ Himself being the deliverance of the soul, we look back unto what was, and we call that liberty. And the angel of the Lord found her by the fountain of water, by a fountain of water in the wilderness, by the fountain in the way to Shur. And he said, Hagar, Sarai's maid, Sarai's servant. He didn't say just Hagar. No, very specifically, Sarai's maid, Sarai's servant, the one who should be submitted unto Sarai. The one, listen, the one who will find purpose, satisfaction, while in submission to Sarai, while submitted unto that which Sarai herself is submitted unto, that which Abram himself is submitted. When I read this, it just exploded in my heart. Look at this next phrase. And he said, the angel of the Lord said, Hagar, Sarai's maid, whence comest thou? And whither wilt that thou go? Hagar had no clue where she was and where she was now going. Hagar, by the tender mercy of God, had been brought unto purpose, to serve purpose, to be submitted unto purpose, and had no clue unto what she had been brought to, had no clue unto that which she was purposed to serve. Because she saw not the purpose of God, which is Christ Himself. Whence comest thou, and whither wilt thou go? And because she saw not, she knew not. Where, from where do you come? I have no clue. And where are you going? I have no clue. From where do you come? I'm coming from bondage. Where are you going? I'm going to freedom. She has no clue. She looks at freedom and calls it bondage, and looks at bondage and calls it freedom, because she has not yet seen the purpose for which God created her. Whence comest thou, and whither wilt thou go? And she said, I flee from the face of my mistress Sarai. And I love this. Verse 9. See, God is ever so tender, ever so merciful. He's like the good shepherd. Remember, once again, when I started off this class, we all, Isaiah, we all, like sheep, we go our own way. We go astray. Each one of us goes his own way. But it's not the way of the Lord. It's not the way of God. Where Jesus says, I am the truth, the way, the life. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, return to thy mistress. Return to thy mistress and submit thyself under her hands, in hopes that Hagar would discover the purpose for which she existed. In hopes that Hagar, listen, would begin to serve the purpose of the Lord in her generation. Now, I know later on, because of, for the testimony's sake, Sarai will eventually say, cast out the bondwoman and her child, for this, the child of the bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, the true heir, who Isaac is. I know that for testimony's sake, it is there. But listen, the flesh must submit itself unto the Spirit. Now, hold on, don't get excited. This happens at the moment of new birth. And then reality governs when Christ is revealed of God the Father. Remember? Solomon. Once David revealed Solomon, the whole land was governed by peace. Not only the whole land of Israel, Canaan, but everything that was from without, outside of the land, the whole world paid tribute to Solomon. Therefore, they are governed by peace as well. The whole body in subjection unto the true king. This is what the Apostle Paul wrote, in whom Christ was revealed. The Apostle Paul, in whom Christ was revealed. This is what he wrote here, declared. Even as he declared that the gospel, the gospel that I preach was not after man, but came by the revelation of Jesus Christ. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 24, and they that are Christ's, that's basically those who are born again, those in whom Christ is found, those who have come unto purpose, because purpose, Christ himself, has appeared in the soul, the moment of new birth, have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. He goes on to say, verse 25, if we live in the Spirit, basically saying, all those who are born again, because of the fact that we live in the Spirit, let us also, remember, reality, then the knowledge of reality. Let us also walk in the Spirit, be governed by the Spirit. They that are Christ's have crucified the flesh. In another place, in chapter 6, verse 11 through 16, specifically verse 14, the Apostle Paul says this, giving the exact same spiritual order. The world is crucified unto me. That's reality. And then he says, because he is governed by reality, and I unto the world. In chapter 2 of Galatians, he says this, I am crucified with Christ. And this happens at the moment of new birth. We are not seeking to be crucified. We are crucified. Listen, the perfect testimony when Israel was in the land of Goshen in Egypt, their deliverance came when the Lamb appeared. They killed the Lamb. They put the blood on the lamb, on the doorpost and lintels. They entered in through that door, and they partook of the lamb. The lamb was now on the inside. They, in fact, when one died, all died. When the lamb died, they all died. That's when it happens. The moment of new birth. Reality comes into our soul in the person of Christ himself. Now, the heart must discover, must know this one who is present. First reality, then the knowledge of reality. The heart must come by the work of the Spirit unto where God, by the Spirit, has brought the soul in reality, Christ himself. Also, the Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17, where the Spirit of the Lord is, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Well, the Spirit of the Lord is liberty. Because at the very moment when the soul is born again, it is literally translated from one condition unto another, from one kingdom unto another, from one creation unto another. All at the moment of new birth. I can go on and on, but I know that my time is pretty much over. And just I'll just mention this real quick. The source of everything that the Apostle Paul said and did, once again, I stated this earlier, is the revelation of Jesus Christ. And he mentions this in Galatians chapter 1, verses 15 and 16. Well, 10 through 16. You can look 10 through 16. But with Hagar, whence comest thou, and whither wilt thou go? From where do you come, and where are you going? And then the angel of the Lord said, return to thy mistress. Return and submit thyself under her hands. Directing back unto purpose. And this is what the Spirit of God does. This is what God and God alone does. I want to read TN this class, and I may have mentioned a little bit of it. I can't remember. At the beginning of class, because I've got the passage marked at the very top of my notes here. This is Psalms 119, starting with verse 64. The earth, O Lord, is full of thy mercy. Teach me thy statutes. Thou hast dealt well with thy servant, O Lord, according unto thy word. Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I have believed thy commandments. Before I was afflicted, and that's the actual term that we'll probably be looking at, dealt harshly, where it said, she dealt harshly with her. Sarai dealt harshly with her. Sarai afflicted her. Before, listen to this, this is what the psalmist is writing. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now have I kept thy word. All this, preparing the ground of the heart. Before this, I went astray all the time. It's what I do. But now, because to whatever degree my heart has been prepared, now I keep thy word. Thy word, which is thy testimony. Thy word, which is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. The design of the testimony, a lamp unto my feet, it gives me direction. Motion. My feet. That I may walk upon a particular path, a specific path, and a light unto my path, an expected end, a destination, a goal. Thou art good and doest good. Teach me thy statutes. The proud have forged a lie against me, but I will keep thy precepts with my whole heart. Their heart is fat as grease. I delight in thy law. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. The law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. Thy hands have made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn thy commandments. They that fear thee will be glad when they see me, because I have hoped in thy word. I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right, and that thou in faithfulness hast afflicted me. Let, I pray thee, thy merciful kindness be for me my comfort according to thy word unto thy servant. Let thy tender mercies come unto me that I may live, for the law is my delight. And I'll just, let the proud be ashamed, for they dealt perversely with me without a cause, but I will meditate in thy precepts. Let those that fear thee turn unto me, and those that have knowledge, those that have known thy testimonies. I'll just stop right there, verse 79. Whence comest thou, and whither wilt thou go? Return to thy mistress, and submit thyself under her hands. So, I'll go ahead and end for this class. May the Spirit of God continue preparing the ground of our heart, the ground of our soul, that our heart, by the work of the Spirit, may turn and discover him who is present in the land, that we may serve the purpose of the Lord in our generation. And may we not resist, may we not put the big stop sign in front of the Holy Spirit, but may we yield unto the Holy Spirit and trust God that, listen, that He is good and He has given, He has declared unto us an expected end. So we'll let you go for this class. May the Lord, by His Spirit, bless you. Continue preparing the ground of our heart, the ground of our soul, for His one expected end, that we may serve the purpose of the Lord in our generation. His end, His purpose, His will, His mind, His goal, His. Amen. So the Lord bless you. We'll see you in our next class. Amen.